He grinned at her, and his face was so thin she could see the muscles move and rearrange. It was unnerving.
"Sewing maid, eh? Or she don't go the same way as the last one?"
She knew he wanted her to ask him what that was, but she clung to one last grain of defiance. She wouldn't ask him. Instead, she said, as if meekly obedient, "All right," and went towards the nearest door.
"Not that one," James called sharply. "That's the kitchen." "That one. Rear lobby. Go through it and turn left. Housekeeper's room's at the end."
She changed direction and muttered thanks without looking at him again.
"You don't want to go in the kitchen without being invited," he called after her. "Lots of sharp knives in the kitchen."
"He's just trying to scare you," she told herself as she scurried past. But she didn't like the hints of a divided, fractious household. He might be just a troublemaker, she thought, stepping through the rear lobby with its smell of wet Macintoshes and boots. But that didn't mean it wasn't so. It was a good day for hunting. The mild smells of earth rose damp and sweet through the thready mist, and the scent was breast high. Hounds were running well. A pocket handkerchief would cover them, as the saying was, and the clamour of their music echoed eerily on the winter air. Behind them the field galloped, strung out as the pace increased. The Earl of Stainton was well up with the leaders. Hunting was his passion. It was not about the kill, it was about the run, the speed, the sound of slamming hooves and snorting breaths, the thrust of great muscles beneath him, the sting of the wind past his face. Joy filled him, fierce and exhilarating, blotting out any troubled thought. For a little while he could forget himself, his difficulties and responsibilities, and become a creature of pure sensation. He and the horse and the moment were one, a united thing of taut, glorious perfection. The fox was old and cunning, and had led them a dance, but the Earl had hunted this country since he was 8 years old, and carried a map in his head of every contour and copse. It was his land, and he knew it as well as the fox did. He felt instinctively that Charlie was heading for the farm at Shellows, where the large pig yard would foil the scent. Stainton took his own line whenever possible. He turned aside, sending Jupiter thundering diagonally across the slope. Ahead was a big blackthorn hedge, a formidable jump, and the approach was awkward, but it was well within Jupiter's scope. 2 paces away, the big bay pecked slightly, but Stainton pulled his head up, gave him a thwack behind the saddle and shouted, "Come on!" Jupiter grunted, thrust off, and rose magnificently to the challenge. They soared. The Earl cried out, "God!" in simple ecstasy. In the parlour of a small house in Ridgemount Street in Bloomsbury, 4 hands freed the notes of Schubert's Sonata in C from the keys of the piano in a steady, accomplished rhythm. Dust motes swirled in the stream of pale winter sunshine that filtered through the net curtains and glinted on the 2 golden heads, one middle-aged, one young. Suddenly Mrs. Sands threw up her head and cried softly, "God!" The music tumbled to a halt.
"Mummy, what's wrong?"
Chloe asked. Molly Sands had put both hands to her head. Now she opened her large, pale blue eyes and took a shaky breath.
"It's all right, I'm all right," she reassured automatically.
Chloe continued to look at her anxiously.
"Is it a headache?"
No, not. I just felt,
I don't know, strange, as though...
It had been as though she was falling, a black, swooping sensation. But it was momentary, and she did not like to see her daughter alarmed. She grew brisk.
"It's past now, whatever it was. Begin again, please, from the triplets."
Chloe didn't immediately obey. She and her mother were very close, and there were just the two of them. They lived in a small but comfortable way on Mrs. Sands' earnings as a piano teacher. If anything happened to her mother...
"Mummy?" "It was nothing. A moment's dizziness. I'm quite all right now," Mrs. Sands said firmly. "Begin, please."
The music resumed. The Earl's groom Archer, following his master on the second horse, Tonnant, saw Jupiter's knees strike.